This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
New RMIT-led research reveals most Australians think food packaging waste is a bigger environmental issue than food waste. But is this true? Well, RMIT Associate Professor Lucas Parker is co-author of this new report. Joins us in the studio. Lucas, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks for having me in, Warren. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you. Tell us a little bit about your research and what you found.
So we've been doing a lot of research as part of the Fight Food Waste Cooperative Research Centre, and we're focusing on different ways that we can reduce waste throughout the community, from producers, farmers, through to consumers, retailers and government. And so we're working on different ways to understand how people may inadvertently waste food.
So tell us something. I buy a lot of food and it's in packaging, and I always look at the packaging and it's at the forefront of my mind that I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's wrapped in a plastic tray. It might have some sort of soft packaging on top that I can no longer recycle. What's worse for the environment? The wasted food or the food packaging?
Well, I'm going to give you an academic answer. Okay. And I'll give you an answer and say that there's lots of different things to weigh up as part of that. Because When we think about packaging, yes, single-use plastics are terrible and we want to avoid and reduce those as much as possible. But part of the problem that we find is that most consumers actually don't understand that packaging is actually protecting your food from going to waste and helps prolong the life and protect the food throughout the process. Food waste is a huge problem around the world, but even in our country, and the amount that we're looking at in Australia alone is 7.6 million tonnes every single year, which is about 300 kilos for every single person in Australia. Now, not all of that is consumers' fault. Around one third of that, so about 100 kilos per person, mm-hmm. is actually food waste that we could reduce. And part of what we're trying to focus on is how to reduce that by at least 50%.
I wonder how many people we could feed with that food waste.
Well, that's the really terrible situation that we're in, is that actually in the world we do produce enough food to be able to feed everybody in the world, but we're just terrible at distributing it and also ensuring that we don't throw out food that we can eat.
What are the main causes of food waste? Like, let's talk about, I suppose, a consumer perspective at home, in your house, because that's where we're all listening. What can we do?
So from a consumer perspective, the biggest thing that we find is that, and it sounds silly, but we buy too much. And with the cost of living pressures, the way that we are at the moment, where we're trying to save money, often the best way that it seems that we can save money in the supermarket is by buying that 2 kilo bag of apples or buying two for the price of one and buying that extra stuff. When we do that, we bring it home, and then often by the time it gets through and we start circling through, we get a bit bored of it. But there's also other things that happen as part of that process. We see that people get confused by date labels. Best before dates confuse the heck out of everybody. And also just the fact that we don't necessarily store our food properly at home to prolong its life.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lucas Parker from RMIT University about some misconceptions about food packaging and how we can waste less food. Just on that bulk buying, you think about it, we're sort of trained now, aren't we, to look at the cost per unit price. I mean, I always look at the shelf and I say, okay, that one is the cheaper one per unit rather than looking at the price. But it's usually in a bigger package. You're absolutely right. And then we've got those, I won't name the name of it, but we've got those big bulk buying supermarkets. You know, there's a couple of them here in Melbourne that train us to go and buy huge quantities of things.
And I think the first thing to recognise is that we all need to own it, because we all do it at different stages. Even I do it, who is somebody who is fixated on food waste and drives my partner crazy at home about food waste. But it's also the fact that we tend to buy things and we tend to do our shops once a week or once every, 5 to 10 days. And what happens when we do that is we've got to plan our food, and many of us do plan our food, but we then end up over-ordering or buying things that things that don't last as long in the refrigerator as we anticipated, and end up throwing it out. And that's a real challenge. So that other way that we can help reduce food waste is actually to go shopping a little bit more often.
So go more often.
Go more often, because we tend to buy smaller amounts, and we might actually, and look, I say that as a person who's really lucky. I live very close to the Queen Victoria Market, so I can pop in and buy in and come in out. And I recognise that's a real challenge for most people. So part of that process is that really boring thing of meal planning, and it's not exciting. But the key thing that I want to say overall is that it's not consumers' fault most of the time. Mm. It's actually a combination of factors, and it's not always our fault.
I've got a question for you, and you're saying you're next to Victoria Market. I'm not next to a fresh market, but I have plenty of supermarkets nearby. Mm. Is it better to go to the supermarket and buy meat that's in a plastic tray and probably vacuum sealed with plastic, or go to the local butcher? You know, we do want to support local businesses, and taking out that side of it, so the local, the business side of it, but just on the environmental impact, is it better to go and buy fresh meat that's not wrapped in this thing that could potentially go off?
Well, I'm going to preface my answer by saying that single-use plastics are something that we should try to avoid.
Okay.
But if we're looking at it in the case of things like meat and fish, particularly at this point of time, or even bread, plastic is at the moment the most widely available protection packaging that we have. And one of the things that you may notice, particularly in the last 10 years in supermarkets, is it's been the vacuum cryo-packed plastic meat, it then holds its shelf life a lot longer. And so if you're not absolutely sure when you're going to eat something, the benefit that can be there is that you actually reduce the food waste. And when we're thinking about that balance, it's a really hard one because, yes, there's a whole bunch of oil and the plastic will last for centuries. But if we're looking at food waste, the meat that comes to your household has had a whole lot of energy that's been invested into it. You've had water, you've had fertilizer, you've had fuel that's been burned to take it around, refrigeration, of which there's been a whole lot of different fuel that's gone into that. And so if we throw out food, what happens is we're actually throwing away all of that energy as well. So it's that really tough balance. And I would say you've got to fit it into your lifestyle. But overall, the aim is and there's government targets on this to reduce the amount of plastic that's involved in any sort of food packaging.
I love your research. I feel like you've sort of, you know, you've diced on the, you know, on the thin edge here, because you could be, you know, people could say, okay, well, that's not true. We should be focusing on less plastic waste. But I suppose what you're saying is if we look at the overall thing, the food waste is the biggest issue.
Well, part of the problem, though, we need to think about is it's not the consumer's fault that we don't have access to some things that are not covered in plastic. It's actually something that for us, it's unavoidable. And it's not a choice that for most people that they want to have plastic wrapped food. But occasionally, some of those things, there is that balance that happens. And I think that we need to focus on as consumers and people in our household is how we can reduce both food waste as well as packaging waste, not just focusing on packaging.
Something that I have noticed, Lucas, is I was hesitant to buy packaging that was soft because of the collapse of, you know, the Red Cycle program. Yeah. We could no longer take our soft plastics to the supermarket. But if you do some investigation, some local councils are still allowing that. I know I'm in the city of Yarra and they have special bins where they do take it and recycle it. So you can, you've just got to drop it off at a different point, not necessarily the supermarkets.
Yeah, look, that is the case in some councils, and it's also the same when we're thinking about foods, that in a lot of councils now, in my council, City of Melbourne, they also have a food organic waste collection service that comes through to our household and collects it every day. Each of those is good as a backup, but actually the first step that we need to think of as consumers is how can we avoid packaging waste and how can we avoid food waste? Because that's the best option that we have. The other ones are good backup plans, which are better than throwing in the bin. It's actually good for us to divert it to something that's useful. But in the same way, we don't want to waste things.
What if someone says, okay, well, you know what, I do waste food, but I always compost it into my garden. What would you say to that?
It's definitely a lot better than putting it in your regular waste bin. But the key thing that I would say is, and one of the concerns that we have with the rollout of food organic waste bins, is the fact that consumers can feel reassured and that when they're putting food that they might have otherwise eaten, or they might have overordered, instead of actually eating it or dealing with that wilted lettuce or the milk that's close to use by day, they throw it out into the the organic waste bin better than the others, but it's still, you're still throwing away all of that invested energy.
So use by date, you touched on that a little bit before as well. So if it says best by, it doesn't necessarily mean it's gone off, does it? So we could potentially still use that.
Absolutely. So there's very clear distinctions, but most consumers, and our research shows this, it's around 80% of consumers are completely perplexed by these two labels. So use by means that the food is safe to be eaten before that date. After that date, you shouldn't eat it because we can't guarantee its safety. Whereas best before is about quality, and quality means that you can eat it as long as the packaging's not damaged or the food's not deteriorated. So it actually just means as we need to do what we would call in academia sensory testing.
Like sniff it.
Sniff it, look at it, taste it.
Yep.
You know, even things like when we see, particularly we buy in the supermarkets, things like spinach or leafy greens in bags, and we see that they're running close to the use of their best before, or it's past the best before, and they look a bit wilted. Often it's just a matter of actually sticking it under the in the sink with some water for 30 seconds and let it soak in some water, and it actually comes back to life. Or reusing some of that wilted food in a way that's that doesn't look bad. So putting it in a soup or putting it in a stew, you won't actually see it. It'll taste just as good. It just means that the quality isn't at that optimum level that when they packed it.
So should we move to just use by date rather than best before? Would that be a good policy decision for government?
Sounds like a good idea for a research project. And it's actually what we're focusing on for the next 3 to 5 years.
I'm actually now
the leader of the National Date Label and Food Storage Advice Project. And part of that project is that we are going to be reviewing best before labelling, because we know that it confuses consumers, but also into the future, looking at better, more standardised ways to help inform consumers how to best prolong the life of food. We found from our research that consumers are confused by things like freezing foods. The things that our parents always did was, you know, you get your bread and you eat it for the first 2 days and then you freeze the rest of it and eat it later on. A lot of people aren't doing it because they don't necessarily know that, or they don't know what foods you can freeze and what they can't. So as part of this project, apart from just looking at best before and use by and how we can better pass that information to people, we're looking at how to better store that food.
I freeze everything.
Me too.
I buy bread, I stick it straight in the freezer because I know I won't eat. Otherwise, I'll eat the whole loaf with butter. So I throw it straight in the freezer.
I'm exactly the same way with freezing, and actually nearly everything that you have can be frozen, and it's some things freeze better than others, and it's just a matter of trying, and you can't lose anything. It's worthwhile having a go.
So the message is waste as little food as possible and minimise packaging.
Waste as little food. Buy only what you need to start off with, even though everything is against you. The supermarkets want you to buy more. Buy less.
Okay, we will do. Lucas, thank you for coming in chatting with us on Joy Drive today.
Thanks for having me, Warren.
Thank you. That is Lucas Parker from RMIT University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.